Hello, I am Katrina Collier, and as part of my mission to inspire all the people that recruit people to treat people better, I bring you the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast. Here, you will hear from those hiring leaders who create true partnerships with recruiters, HR, and talent acquisition because they know that it delivers a better result for the business and a better human experience. May this podcast inspire other hiring leaders to create better partnerships with their recruiters and HR. And may it inspire recruiters to create true and valuable partnerships with their hiring leaders. Because people make businesses succeed and people matter. So let us begin. Steve Norman, welcome to the Hiring Partner Perspective, proudly supported by the People at Work Drive. Thank you so much for joining me today.
No, you're welcome, Katrina.
And I believe this is your very first podcast, so I'm super excited.
It is.
Oh, what an honor to be doing that with us as well. So tell me a little bit about how you became head of engineering. Like, what was your background? Did you fall into it? Did you plan it? Like, how have you ended up where you are?
Yeah, actually, I did plan to become an engineer from an early age, and I went to university and did a degree in computer science to become a software engineer. So that was definitely the direction I wanted to take, and that was, you know, 25 years ago that I left university and worked my way through as a graduate programmer for a telecoms company, which was great. I did that for a couple of years, and I joined a software consultancy company, which kind of really opened my eyes to the ability to move from company to company and get a really good grasp of, you know, being dropped into a company for 3-6 months and helping them solve problems and doing what engineers and software engineers really like to do, which is get hold of a problem, come up with a solution and deliver something in that way. I did that, becoming a contractor for a few years, but then I joined a company in the energy space. That was back in 2005, small startup company. Mm-hmm. There was only four of us, and we kind of grew that company to, you know, a multinational energy company.
Wow.
I kind of worked my way in the 9 years that I was there up to becoming like the managing director, so I was overseeing quite a lot of this, and coming from an engineering software background, this product company.
How did that feel then? If you're someone that loves solving problems and like being in, and you love that jumping into different companies, how did it feel to then be almost managing people rather than still hands on?
It was not right at the very end. I wasn't hand on software developing, but the enjoyment of that was my role was constantly changing from a software engineer to then building a team, running a team as we scaled up to then becoming the VP of technology, starting up a company, an office out in Chicago, starting in Paris, out to Hong Kong, traveling around, and then eventually becoming the managing director, and that gives you a whole different set of problems that you have to solve around, budgets and just driving a company forward, which I really enjoyed. That's kind of
plus all of those cross-cultural experiences must have been amazing as well.
Absolutely, and just getting to understand, traveling, understanding different cultures, getting to meet customers is one thing that I really enjoy, and seeing a company go from, you know, the four of us it up to 150 people.
Amazing.
In lots of different places is really great to do. And that was a really very enjoyable experience. And that kind of really opened my eyes to doing more than just software engineering, sort of becoming team mentoring, helping, grow teams and hire people in. Doing all those kind of activities as well on top of the software and problem solving, which I still enjoy. Now I've just said that with becoming the managing director, I did do that for a few years, but I did find that I was too far away from the technology at that point. Your days are spent looking at budgets. Your days are spent, just trying to, balance the books, doing accounts, and kind of a little bit. You end up being quite a sales orientated person rather than an engineering person. So, so I kind of moved on from that job and went to work at Cambridge University as a solutions architect, which again I really enjoyed that, and I was there for quite a few years. But yeah, I kind of wanted to move on again, and looking for some job training in London, I knew some people, and this job was recommended to me by some people who really work at VUE. They kind of told me about the company, really got me excited about it. I then, you know, applied for the head of engineering role that I currently have, and luckily enough, I managed to be offered the job, and I joined VUE back in sort of November 2020.
You joined in the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but what really drew me to, because I did have a few interviews with a number of different companies, and the thing that drew me to VUE over the other companies was just they had already, even when I was interviewing, this is because I was interviewing back in July, August time for to start in November, so, you know, 3 months notice period, but they had already kind of grasped the pandemic and people working from home, and kind of said this is the new norm. Even back then, not this is like a year ago, and this was through Liz Dowling kind of really getting the company to kind of say from the off, like this isn't what we're going to be doing for 6 months or 12 months. This is now what we are going to be doing. So let's just change the way we work and we hire and we draw people in. This is what we need to do to attract people to our company. But we're no longer just trying to attract, you know, engineers from a London radius. We can now start to become hybrid, work from home, and we can, you know, widen our net and do these things.
She's quite the visionary, isn't she? I remember having conversations with her as this all went down, and she was already thinking way further ahead than anybody I've spoken to.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I really liked about that VUE was they had already, you know, they were thinking, you know, how this is all going to pan out and how the company was going to cope with this. Not how do we cope for the next 3 or 6 months. They're just gone, this is a great opportunity for us. Yeah. Let's move forward. And their whole onboarding setup that they explained to me had already become, they'd already flipped it around for people joining, remotely and making sure that they were like engaged with the company, understood what the company was doing and all the different departments. And a huge credit to Liz. And also, all the other people at VUE who stepped up and kind of all the different department heads and the leadership team to kind of embrace this. And when I joined, you know, the first 3-4 weeks was, you know, almost like back-to-back meetings of just going, being onboarded. But it wasn't just like, I've been onboarded before where it's an hour's chat with a pamphlet of this is your fire exit.
Exactly, right.
And you spend the next year trying to work out what everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, VUE had already said, no, when you join, we know you're remote, but everyone is going to, you know, you're going to be taken through. There's going to be a group of you, these little cohorts that they put together. And
that's so cool.
You kind of onboard together and you have a little cohort group that I still, you know, we still occasionally, try and have some virtual drinks occasionally, but maybe some in real life drinks going forwards, but yeah, that was really what that was what drew me to also the role was also very interesting, and the space they're in is fantastic,
super cool, isn't it? Yeah. So from your point of view, had you managed hybrid teams that were working remotely and not, and
well,
before,
or
was
I had,
new, and what have you learned?
I had through, quite often in engineering software development, in my previous role at Cambridge University, we had an offshore team based in the Philippines in Manila. So so you do learn how to engage with those kind of people, and you are working, you have to have video calls all the time, or you use Slack and other means of communication, and you kind of, I think probably, you know, within the engineering space, actually, hybrid working and working from home has been the easiest for us to cope with it. You know, most of us have really enjoyed it because we get some time to actually concentrate on doing what we like to do. But I had experience of managing remote teams, but I'd obviously never had experience of joining a team. And I was head of engineering, and you know, until very, very recently, I had not physically met anybody in my team. And it is quite hard to build those kind of relationships and understand the dynamics of teams remotely. And that's kind of what I found the most difficult to do. It's it's not something you can't overcome, but it's whereas you in an office you'd just walk around and chat to people ad hoc. It's very hard to do that. At View we've tried quite a few different ways of trying to have these kind of open online kind of coffee rooms that are between 11 and 12. Everyone can come and just take a break and have coffee, but. They
how
work.
Many people pop in?
To start with, it's kind of okay, but the problem is it's just another online meeting with a screen,
and people are going to want to
get away from it. So
I must admit, I've been loving audio calls when someone just rings my phone. Just like, oh, thank you for not making me sit here like trying to smile. I love it for this. People who've listened to this podcast before know I can actually see you, but they won't get to see that. It does help. At least we know we're smiling and nodding and stuff. But no more. I know there's quite a concern. I should be interested in your take on this going forward, that people who are in the office and are seen are going to get preferred treatment over those who are working remotely. As a manager, does that sort of, have you thought about how you'll make sure everyone's treated evenly? Or
probably because of my previous experience of managing offshore teams, and it wasn't an outsourced team, they were part of
the company.
Our company. So they direct reports and all those things, so I think I'm quite mindful of understanding people give value outside of them being physically there. I understand that can be a concern. I don't think I think we'll be very, very, very mindful of those kind of things. And there's other values that I put above someone turning up to sit at a desk, physically be there. it's very difficult because in some ways it's also handy if they are there, because you can have a conversation with them without having to kind of interrupt them for a half hour long meeting. You can just have a little chat with them. So maybe on the sort of the relationship side, you get to know people a little bit better. There's so many other values that and skills and knowledge that I put above someone getting on a train to coming into the office. There's a few things we're trying at View around ensuring people are encouraged. We're going to have these connected days within the office that we're looking to do, which actually I'm in the office tomorrow when Liz is going to be presenting these connected days. So each team will have at least one connected day a month where it's kind of very, very, very much encouraged that everyone comes into the office on that day so that you can have some physical time together, which I think is a good thing to do. And just make sure, that those days are utilized as well as they possibly can be. So
even the biggest introvert can manage one day a month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even me, who hates going into the office ever, I've been working remotely for 11 years, so I'm just sitting here going, what are you all complaining about? I don't get it. Anyway, obviously Liz Dowling did refer you to me, because everyone gets referred for this. I'm very honoured. Because you'd have a great deal of success recently running a hiring sprint to hire developers. Now, my understanding is, and I doubt this has changed, that there are something like 5 job vacancies for every developer in London.
I totally believe that.
Which is bizarre, right? You think with the amount we consume tech, we would be encouraging more people into STEM, but that's another whole conversation. But I would love to hear more about why you went about running a hiring sprint. Like, what was your thinking behind it? And you hired 13 Java developers, so it clearly went well. It's amazing.
It went exceptionally well. Just a little bit of background. The team at View, when I joined, we had quite a large contingent workforce, because we're kind of quite a new company. We'd gone from a startup and through a scale up, and actually to get to where we are today and to get products to market and get functionalities to market that we need, bringing contractors in, and we hired in some managed services with statements of work to try and get whole teams to come in, and that worked really well to push us forward. But it's kind of, for a company of our size, it's a little bit unsustainable where, more than half the Java developers are, outside of our outsource, because we do outsource the company in India as well. But a lot of our workforce was made up of these contingent workers, and it's kind of just unsustainable for a number of reasons. You've got the financial side of it.
Yeah.
But also just The risk, absolutely, and the and team building around, you know, with IR35, that they can't really have any managerial responsibilities, and to make sure that, you know, when I joined, the number of direct reports that I had, because the team leads were contractors, basically. Yeah. They couldn't, so I've just got a mass of people reporting directly into me that I you know, there's no way I can give them the time and the, yeah, that they would need from a manager. So for a number of reasons, we just needed to, you know, I actually think that having contractors and some contingent workforce in your team is absolutely essential. It's really good to always have that kind of new ideas, new blood coming in.
Yeah, well, like you said, from when you were dropping into the companies, doesn't it? You bring in all absolutely of that perspective.
But so, again, sorry. Balance, but you need the balance, and the balance was just a little bit off at Vue. So you know, when I joined back in November, I spoke to the CTO, and we just, you know, worked around, you know, what we need to do for the next year, and it really was just to try and you know, bring in a lot of permit, and it wasn't just to replace all of the, you know, we weren't just doing it just to throw. We still have a number of contingent workforce, which, as I say, I think is essential to bring those ideas in. But we did hire a lot of them because we were growing. We're still growing. Yep. Well, we're still hiring.
So exciting.
but we just had a lot of people, 13 Java developers of different levels, from team leads, tech leads, senior software engineers, mid, junior developers, just to try and get a nice balance in the teams.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can get the ability to bring people in and get people through the promotion. You know, make sure you have all those kind of things. So yeah, you need the team structure to be able to do that. So, so people know what their career path is going to be, and you know, it's also a little bit the motivation I also found when I joined with lots of you know, contractors being in these very prominent positions was not helping some of the morale. So it's really just to adjust that around and to get the teams to function as well as they possibly can.
And people want to know where they're going, don't they? And I always say of any age.
Yes.
Before anyone does any cliches at me and I get annoyed, but it's that you want to know where you're going. You want to know how you're going to get developed. Right? What's the potential?
Absolutely. So, I had these conversations with my CTO, had conversations obviously with Liz and the people team. We'd also decided, because we have a large in-house hiring team, and we'd also switch from, like, using recruitment agencies to having something more in-house, and there's lots of processes happening around that. But we all got together and kind of worked out, you know, that they had all the stats from how long it takes to hire a Java developer, and it's, you know, months to do so. So how do we get 13 people? Yeah. How do we get 13 Java developers to join, you know, in a 6 month time frame?
Yeah.
You know, how do we get engagement on that? And we kind of just walked around and we kind of thought, well, let's you know, we're engineers, we work in sprints, we work in agile methodologies. Let's try and take some of that and bring that into our hiring. So we had these hiring sprints that we went through.
Yeah.
We kind of started off with, you know, initially we had like a very simple kind of Trello board, because we needed to get a lot of the process in place to understand what we were going to do. And that included, you know, just making sure job descriptions were up to date, and because they'd kind of fallen a little bit out of date, make sure that they are up to spec, make sure that we had the right ones, the right job opportunities, make sure that we had the right hires. We use a system called Greenhouse to do our hiring through, to make sure all the job recs were in there, make sure we had them there. And then really just, we then brought in the hiring managers that were going to be part of from the engineering teams. And they were kind of mainly team leads from other teams in the teams already. Try to get a couple of seniors in as well. And we're trying as much as possible to try and encourage as many people to be part of these hiring teams as we can. But we don't, you know, it was very important that we didn't just kind of grab people, engineers, and kind of go, right, now you're a hiring manager.
Yeah,
you've got an interview. You got an interview this afternoon.
Do what?
You know, exactly. So great from the people team. They kind of produced some, you know, some some slides and some workshops, basically, yeah. to get the hiring managers in and kind of say, like, this is the process we're going to go through, and you know, yeah. we've got, you know, what happens at the start, when they're going to be involved. You know, we've got because they're Java developers, we have some tests that we do as well. So, you know, first interview tests, second interview again. What kind of things we should be looking at from both the people team side and also. Mm. other engineers who have done this before, just to kind of be there and try and give over some information on, yeah. on what you should be looking for, and really also like how to, you know, what we're doing at Vue, how to sell Vue as a company, because
gosh, how refreshing.
As I say the reason I joined Vue was part of, you know, I understood what they were doing hybrid wise and going forward, but that's really important that we do that we kind of say this is why you should be joining Vue rather than another company, because this is what we're trying mm-hmm. to, this is what we're doing here at Vue. When going back to the office becomes the norm, that is not what we're going to do here at Vue. Yeah. We're staying hybrid. We've made that decision all the way up from the CEO, who's been great around this whole thing.
It's been really interesting. I mean, obviously developers, we everyone knows there's a shortage of them, but even in other areas, there's a shortage of people at the moment. And there's still this sort of almost arrogance that the hiring manager forgets to sell their company and just spends a lot of time grilling the poor human beings sitting in front of them. They've got choice. There's an internet. They can see the other jobs.
and as you say that, you know, if the stats are out, there's five jobs for every Java developer or every software engineer in London. You know, you need to make sure that you're trying to stand out as a company. So we kind of make sure we're giving good training to our hiring managers.
So good.
And then we just, you know, the hiring team, the people team, they just went off and scoured LinkedIn and Stack Overflow and all these other places
that developers actually are
exactly and they just, you know, started to get in, you know, an awful lot of CVs, resumes into the system, and you know, one of the things that I was very mindful of is, you know, people, if people apply for a job, they want something to come back, some communication back as to where they are in the process.
Yeah.
So this is kind of, and you know, previously the hiring had been a little bit more ad hoc at Vue, and perhaps, you know, we weren't quite as good at getting back to candidates. And you know, if someone's offering them a job and we haven't got back to them, they're going to take the other job, you know, even if we do end up offering them that. So it's just very mindful of, we need to be very quick. We need to be on the ball at all times. So we started to have,
also because, you know, developers know each other, don't they? So they'll tell. They'll be like, "Oh, Vue doesn't give me feedback."
Exactly.
Vue just like they ghost me, and they start talking because they all know.
Absolutely. Each other. So you 100% on all those things. So we started to have these stand ups. They weren't daily. They were three times a week: Monday, That's Wednesday, awesome. Friday.
Yeah.
And we basically just got all the hiring managers in. We got and the people team, we all just got together, you know, 15 minutes is, and when you've actually got some focus, you can do this very quickly. And it's not, you know, previously when you kind of hand out some CVs and kind of say, "Oh, can you have a look at this? Tell me what you think." You know, it just goes to the bottom of the pile of an engineer's, you know, other things are coming up to do. So if you can have this 15 minutes every second day as it was, just get them in. And we just, you know, we just went through the CVs really quickly. You know, is that a yes or a no? And it just made it really, really quick to get through them. And then we just made sure that we knew, you know, who was interviewing who at what time, who was coming through afterwards, making sure people have given their feedback. And, you know, again, trying to be very mindful of, you know, making sure that we gave feedback in a non-biased way before, not just chatting about it in these standards, but it was more just to kind of say, "Oh, you need to do your scorecard for this candidate. We need to get back to them." And as soon as that was happening, and really just getting that cadence of meetings and everyone, you know, for engineers, we just like structure. So as soon as you know what you're supposed to be doing and being given a task to do, we love it. We'll just get on and do it. So that's really what happened.
Really,
we just made sure that we were on top of it.
That's seriously good advice.
And getting back to people.
Yeah. That's seriously good advice for HR and recruiters, actually. Okay. So I'm dealing with engineers. Let's put a structure in place. And the structure that's not like boring and heavy, like just 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay. We're just going to whiz through these CVs. And I love that.
Yeah.
And that's so easy to implement. It really is.
Yeah, and really just from doing that, and also just making sure we, you know, that they can also raise any questions in that, because again, I think sometimes with the hiring managers, you know, they the process starts and they get CV sent over to them and they can say yes or no and they do the interviewing. But that kind of two-way flow of how well is the screening process going by the people team? How well are these CV? Are they really hitting the mark? I think sometimes that can get missed because of the way that it's kind of a bit of a flow going down to the hiring managers, and rather than having a two-way conversation. So these 15 minutes, it was really, we had some good discussions around, what we should and shouldn't be looking for, what questions the hiring managers should be doing in the screening. And the engineers were kind of writing just some you know, very simple things to kind of say, if they can't answer these questions, then that's a definite no, we don't want to speak to them. Because at the start, you know, a few people getting through, and when the hiring managers were spending half an hour, 45 minutes on our first interview, they're like, well, we shouldn't be wasting our time on this. So it's really just to make sure that they, you know, I think they liked the fact that they could feedback that very quickly. So rather than having like a month of these interviews where they weren't going too well, they'd do one or two, we'd have a stand up, it'd be they didn't know this, let's put that in. And then move on, and they don't get that they're not coming through anymore. And it just made that process. And I think, especially, you know, I'm talking from an engineer's standpoint, I'm sure this happens with other departments as well. If you're just getting a lot of CVs and meeting lots of people that just aren't fit for the job, you know, it's just tiring for you. You're wasting your time, and then you kind of just get a little bit disengaged with the whole hiring process. Whereas this really kind of just gave us the ability to be constantly, you know, as we do in engineering, constantly refining, constantly improving our process to go through. And they, I think they liked having that, their voice heard very quickly.
Nobody really likes recruiting, let's be honest, even recruiters. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard thing, you know, there's so many different decisions and outcomes and, you know, and a lot of it is feeding back negativity as well. So it's like, it's not the easiest thing. So I love that by doing that, it really did solve a problem, which is obviously keep you interested, because you've got your other job going on. Recruiting is a very small part of what you're doing day to day. We often forget that as recruiters, because we do it 100% of the time. And it's like, that's really, really
absolutely. And you know, and hiring this many people was you know, for definitely the first 3 months of this year, I'm really pleased with the way the engineers applied themselves, because it was, people were doing, you know, four or five interviews a week, which might not sound that much, but that's like an hour. We do tests, so we have to hand out these tests, so they have to be marked again when they come back in. It's just time. People were doing it outside of work hours. Obviously, everyone was very much knew what we were trying to do with bringing these people aboard. It was, you know, improving the company, improving their teams and other people's teams. So it was a really good group effort to get together to do that. But it was. I don't take away how much hard work it was from everybody to do that alongside their job.
Exactly. But those 15-minute stand-ups to make sure the process kept improving would have saved them so much time. On top of the time they're already invested, which is quite cool.
So we went through that, and we made sure that we were just getting back to people very, very quickly, which I think also really improved our conversion rate of at all points, as in even when an interview happened, we had like a 2-hour SLA on turning around the scorecard, so the hiring team could get back to the person with a yes, you're going through, no, you're not. This is the feedback. If you know, and we also try to make sure that if it was a no, let's have some reasons that we can feedback to the candidate. Because as you say, developers talk, and if it's a no from Vue, we want to feedback, say, yeah, and this is the reason why we didn't feel you were a good fit for these reasons. So it's not just a no or a being ghosted, and I think
it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, as I'm sure Liz has told you, you know, that I wrote a book called The Robot Proof Recruiter, and so much of it is about that no feedback thing. You know, just not treating the human as a human. This poor person wants closure. It's just natural to want it.
Yes,
and if you give them that tiny bit of advice and they go off and improve, they're going to get that next job. Like, we change lives, and it's just, it's so important. So to hear you say that, it's like, oh, music to my ears.
and the other side of that is, you know, in 2-3 years' time, Mm-hmm. We're still hiring.
Yeah.
They might be looking. And if they had a bad experience 2 years ago at a company, they're not going to bother sending their CV in. If they had a good, you know, a good experience, even if the answer was no,
yeah.
if they had a good experience, I think they'll probably put their CV in again and yeah. maybe
and they'd go, they've hey, improved Steve, enough. You told me to improve this. I've done it. I've gone and done this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
so,
here.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So, so, you know, hopefully it'll pay dividends, you know, going forward for us as well. Even the no's, you know. People will pay dividends on that front.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. When I rewrite my book, I'm putting this in. It's got to go in. It really does. It's just it's too clever. I can't believe how fast the time's going. It's amazing. Were there any final things that you really thought before you came and I really want to share this? So that was it. I think there's been so many tips through that. But
no, it was, yeah, just to give my side, you know, explain what we did at Vue and yeah, if anyone's looking for a Java engineering job, feel free to put your CV in still. We're still hiring.
And Vue is VIOOH.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find Steve Norman, that's where he is.
Yeah.
I will put a link to your LinkedIn below, all of the blurb anyway. So I imagine sometimes I think when it streams out in different podcasts, but yeah, you're pretty easy to find. Or find his Dowling as well. Thank you so much. For somebody who's never been on a podcast, you're very relaxed. Totally love that. And as ever, I just love doing these because I learn so much myself. So I cannot thank you enough for your time. Thanks.
No, you're very welcome. It's been thoroughly enjoyable.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast, proudly supported by the people at WorkDrive. Hopefully you really enjoyed what you heard and have left feeling inspired. And if so, I would love your help to create real change. Please pass this podcast on to your hiring leaders and other recruiters and HR. Even share it on your social channels if you feel so inclined. But the more reach we can get, the more change we can create. So please remember to subscribe, of course, on your favorite podcast platform. And do come and say hello at Hiring Partner Perspective on Instagram, where I share behind the scenes of what's going on. Until next time, thank you.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.